Chris Sheridan, who authors SheridanHoops.com. He has a tremendous staff. It is a must if you follow pro basketball and college hoops as well. SheridanHoops.com is the website. I strongly encourage you to follow it religiously, because there's tremendous information and insight from top to bottom in what Chris and his staff offer there. He is joining us for a few minutes tonight, and we have not mentioned Dwight Howard yet. We will now. Howard's absence from Team USA, as you mentioned, could come into play against a team the caliber of Spain on that front line in this run to what's anticipated to be Olympic gold for Team USA. We'll see how it unfolds over in London. But is Dwight Howard now destined for Houston, given the amnesty of Luis Scola and the massive cap space the Rockets have carved out now to bring in the bloated contracts that Orlando wants to unload with Howard, of the Richardsons, Jason and Quentin, and Chris Duhon? Do you give merit to that scenario?
Yeah, well, why else would you amnesty Scola, who's a very productive player, who's paid pretty much a fair wage, and he's certainly not over the hill, I fully expect somebody to pick him up on waivers, as long as there's a team out there that can fit his contract in, or a big piece of it. You know, the waiver process is teams get to bid whatever they want, and the highest bidder gets them. But why else would they amnesty Luis Scola and carve out all this room, unless they want to go all in on Dwight Howard? And Daryl Morey has certainly been a player in the Dwight Howard talks all the way along, even though Dwight Howard has told everybody who wants to listen that, look, I'm not going to sign an extension with them. So if they get me, they're going to get me for 1 year, and then it's adios amigos. But I imagine Daryl Morey is of the belief that, look, if we can get this guy in here, and we sit him down, and we work with him for a year, and we convince him to stay, we got a year to convince him. And who says we can't? Maybe the odds are against us, but what are his other options going to be? The only team with cap space next summer, good team, or big market team that's going to have significant enough cap space to sign Dwight Howard outright is the Dallas Mavericks. And playing in Dallas and playing in Houston, look, you're still playing in Texas, and you're not playing for the best team in Texas. So it's sort of six of one and a half dozen of another, and plus the Rockets would be able to give Dwight Howard the largest contract he could get if he did let his contract expire and he became an unrestricted free agent. So it's a heck of a gamble, but it was, you know, what we just saw the Brooklyn Nets go through in 2 years of gambling in order to clear enough space to keep Deron Williams, and it ended up they fitted in Joe Johnson, and they tried their best to get Dwight Howard but couldn't. But they were willing to take that type of a gamble on Dwight, and there are other teams out there, Matt, that are willing to take the gamble now that even though everybody says we're going to get him as a rental, he won't be a rental. We're going to change his mind once he gets here, and I think that's certainly a clear signal today from Houston that's what they're prepared to do.
And Chris, I have no idea at the end of the day what makes his boat float. I mean, there have been so many mixed messages from him over the last calendar year, it's ridiculous. But I've got to believe that if he is a player that values competing for championships, you have an amazing legacy of big men in that city. You have certainly a legacy of winning titles back in the mid-90s, and that's a pretty strong pitch point, I've got to believe, to a player that is in Dwight Howard's shoes right now. Do you agree with that, or is that a stretch?
Well, it depends on Dwight's individual circumstances and where he wants to be. And I know his Adidas contract pays him a lot more money if he's in L.A. or if he's in New York, and I think that's got to be a factor as well, because the money is limited now in the NBA with a max. They've had a max salary system for a long time, and that's why Brook Lopez can get a contract yesterday that pays him the same money that LeBron James makes. So where you make up the difference is in your shoe contract. And Dwight's an Adidas guy, and Adidas doesn't have that many guys. And Dwight's worth a lot to Adidas if he's in a bigger market playing for a higher-profile team. And I think that was one of the main reasons that people haven't been talking about that was fueling Dwight's desire to end up in Brooklyn with the Nets. And look, the Lakers and Clippers have been fallback teams for him and for a while in his mind. But I think he was being told, and I think he really believed that he was going to end up with Brooklyn. And now that that's not going to happen, Dwight's really got to reassess. Okay, what's palatable to me now? What city could I live with? I certainly don't want to go back to Orlando. So what's the next best option? And I think that's the next step that this thing takes. And And now, you know, he had a one-team list, Brooklyn.
Yep.
And Brooklyn's off the list, and Brooklyn can't get him anymore. So now it's on Dwight. Well, you know, you got to come up with a new list, buddy. Where would you play, and where would you sign long-term? And if you don't want to commit to signing to anybody long-term, what can the, you know, how does that impact the Magic's ability to trade you? Because that sort of handcuffs the Magic's front office in that, you know, they're trying to trade a guy who's going to be a rental rather than a guy who can be a long-term dominant center for a franchise. And that definitely has a trickle-down on what kind of assets are being offered in return.
Absolutely. Chris Sheridan, SheridanHoops.com with us, talking some NBA this final hour of Inside Sports. Matt Pinto in for Al Eschbeck on the Sports Animal, WWLS. Chris, from a contending standpoint, a lot of movement league-wide. Who in your mind off the top of your head has best solidified their shot to make a title run next season to this point this offseason?
Boy, that's a good question. Solidified their shot to make a title run. The Los Angeles Lakers, I would say. Los Angeles Lakers have been looking for a point guard for, what, 5 years now?
Yep.
You know, and they just got one of the best, a guy who's going to be going into the Hall of Fame, and they got him for a couple draft picks in getting Steve Nash. And let's see what else the Lakers pull out, you know, out of their sleeve going forward. Maybe they end up with a Grant Hill. You know, who knows? If Luis Scola goes through amnesty and doesn't get claimed, I'm sure he wouldn't mind living in Los Angeles and backing up Powell for a while and taking some of the load off Powell. But in terms of the Lakers addressing a need, they went out and got Ramon Sessions last year, and he's an okay point guard. He was an upgrade on Fish, but he wasn't the answer for them, and they went out in the second round. And, that, you know, that doesn't cut it in L.A. when you've won as many championships as they have. So they went out and made a real bold move in getting Steve Nash, and it remains to be seen how much Steve and Kobe can play together, but I'm of the opinion that if Steve Nash has the ball in his hands and is able to create opportunities, catch and shoot scoring opportunities for Kobe Bryant, then Kobe doesn't have to create as much for himself off the dribble. He doesn't have to expend as much energy on the offensive end, and that trend is going to translate into more effort out of him on the defensive end. And I think Steve Nash will make the game easier for Kobe, and I'd have to say the Lakers probably solidified themselves just as much as the Miami Heat did, because you can't leave them out of the conversation. When you need guys to spread the floor and we're going to get open threes, and you get Ray Allen and you get Rashard Lewis, you've done pretty well. I remember in that last game when they beat Oklahoma City, Mike Miller was the killer with those 7 3-pointers, that's definitely a big part of the Miami scheme. They need guys who can hit open 3-pointers in order to win, and they got two of them. So they really did solidify themselves as championship material and as championship defending worthy material, Matt.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that certainly the caliber of the names and how those talents will fit in with players around them. And, Chris, maybe I'm in the minority. I still wonder if Kobe is on board with what Mike Brown wants to do with the Lakers, and that is run more through the low post, whether it be Gasol or Bynum. And I just kind of wonder, do they need to move one of those two guys? Because in my mind, Powell's talents are wasted a little bit playing him as much at the high post as they have, and likely will continue to as long as Bynum or Dwight Howard are there.
I think Powell would agree with you about the high post and stuff, and he was kind of vocal about it last season. He said, look, this is not where I'm an effective ball player. I need to be in the low post, and you can play two guys low in the post in Bynum and Gasol. It makes it a little crowded down there, but you know, you design your offensive schemes around your big strength. And look, the Los Angeles Lakers are the best front line in the Western Conference with those two guys, with Bynum and Gasol. So I think Kobe would like Mike to be a little less rigid with what he wants to run. I think there was certainly an adjustment last year going from Phil Jackson, a guy who had just a real presence about him, to a guy in Mike Brown who's way, way younger than Phil Jackson and certainly doesn't have the gravitas that Phil has and is a newcomer to the Laker organization, whereas Kobe is a lifer. And, you know, the lifer looks at the new guy and says, okay, well, you know, I've been here a lot longer than you. I'm going to help you do your job probably more than you expected a player to help you coach a team. But I think Kobe takes it upon himself to be that vocal because he is the leader of that team and he's the face of that franchise.
A couple more for you before we let you go. Really appreciate your time. Chris Sheridan, SheridanHoops.com, joining us for a few minutes on Inside Sports Tonight on the Sports Animal. Number one, Chris, who among still available free agents, and given the recent wave of amnesty cases with Darko Milicic and Elton Brand, Brendan Haywood, Luis Scola now in Houston, who's the best available free agent still out there unsigned, and what are you expecting with whoever that is in your mind?
I'd say it's probably got to be one of two guys, Andre Kirilenko or JaVale McGee. And JaVale McGee's restricted, and I think the Denver Nuggets are going to match any offer he gets. And that's going to be a no-brainer for them. So let's take JaVale McGee. You know, they gave up Nene to get this guy, so they're not going to let him leave and get nothing in return. So let's look at Kirilenko. Here's a guy who went and played for CSKA Moscow last year during the lockout because nobody knew when the NBA was going to come back, and he had a wonderful time. He played with Nedved Krstić and Alexei Shved, a shooter who you'll see at the Olympics and you'll see with the Timberwolves next year in the NBA, a real good player. And he really liked the enthusiasm of the crowds in Europe. You know, it's a whole different dynamic in the arenas over there, and the fans are much more involved. And you know, there's no canned music or dances and stuff like that. It's just a whole different atmosphere, and it's very intense. And I think that Andre, in reading what he's been saying recently, really liked that about European basketball. And CSKA Moscow made it all the way to the EuroLeague finals, and they lost on a last second shot against Olympiakos from Greece. But you know, they did very well in the Russian league, and in Europe, teams play in three different leagues at a time. So he has until July 15th to get out of his contract, same as Krstić. And I wonder, just from reading his recent comments, whether Andre really wants to come back to the NBA. He made so much money in the NBA, it's not like he needs the money. So now he's doing it for his passion for the game. And if he finds more enjoyment in playing in his homeland, in Russia, than he does in playing for, you know, anyone in the NBA, I think he's probably going to say, look, I already have enough money. I'm going to stay in Russia. And then he'd take himself off the NBA free agent market. If he decided to come back, well, that's a pretty well-rounded player. He can do a little bit of everything for you, and he'd help make a good team very good and a very good team great.
From the outside looking in, the Thunder falling three victories short of a title this past season against the Heat in the NBA Finals. Add Perry Jones III at 28 in the opening round. Hashim Thabeet, a player that has not yet realized potential as a second overall pick 3 years back. Chris, how do you assess where their roster is right now and what their future looks like in the grand scheme of things?
Well, their future is obviously bright when you make it to the conference finals 1 year and the NBA finals the next year. You know, it shows what you're made of. Ibaka's, you know, probably the most underrated player in the league. It was a crime that he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year, and Tyson Chandler got it. I voted for Ibaka, by the way. I had a vote, just so your listeners know.
okay.
One more reason to check out SharedNews.com. But, look, I don't think Hashim Thabeet is the answer, but I don't think Oklahoma City needs an overhaul either. I think they do need another center, and you know, maybe they can get Krstić back if they want to spend the money to go get Krstić if he opts out of his contract. But they need somebody to score out of that position. I think you saw it anytime they ran the pick and roll with Perk during the playoffs. Teams just doubled up on whoever, they'd leave Perk alone at the foul line and say, go ahead, we're going to throw two defenders at Russell or at Kevin, and you can give the ball to Perk if you want. There's nothing you can do with it from 15 feet away. And you know, so that's sort of the gaping hole in the roster, is that they don't have a center who's got any kind of a game outside of 5 feet. Now, is Thabeet going to give that to them? I don't think so. He hasn't shown a lick since he got into the league as a number two overall pick. But I never underestimate Sam Presti's ability to be creative and to find the right kind of player who can fill that hole. And it's not a hole that every team can fill, because there's only a limited number of centers who have games that extend out to 15, 16, 17 feet. So So they're not in bad shape. They just beat the San Antonio Spurs four times in a row when San Antonio had won 20 straight. I would have liked to see them play a little zone in the finals and mix it up and try to make the Miami Heat beat them from outside. I think if you're going to second-guess Scott Brooks on any one thing from the finals, it's like, why didn't you try a zone, man? You know, it worked for the Dallas Mavericks the year before. Just try it. You have it in your repertoire. You have it in your playbook. Just because you don't usually play it doesn't mean that you can't play it. It's the finals. You do everything you can to win the game, you know, that you're playing that night, even if it goes against what you've done all year. You know, if you got to play Russell and Kevin 48 minutes, you play them 48 minutes. Another second guess on Scott is, you know, there was one game, I forget exactly which one, it might have been three, where they lost a big lead, and Russell and Kevin were sitting on the bench together while that big lead dwindled away. And you can't make those kind of mistakes in the finals, and you can't coach the finals like they're the regular season or like they're an early round playoff game. You got to go all out to win each one of those games because you're playing for the ultimate title. And I don't think Scott Brooks made enough adjustments during the finals, and I think Scott's going to learn from it. I don't think it makes him a bad coach. I think it makes him a coach who had a learning experience. So that's a long-winded way of telling you that I think the Thunder's roster is pretty good the way it is constructed right now, and I fully expect them to contend for the Western Conference title next season.
Chris, good stuff from top to bottom. Appreciate you taking some time to visit with us. Let's catch up down the road.
Okay, Matt, I appreciate it.
Okay, Chris Sheridan, SheridanHoops.com.